Sanje Jobara Jo, Sanje Jodan Jose, La Sanje Bato, Dondo Jose, and Dave Jose, Sonam Ji, and Dola Jobara Jo, Sanje Jodan Jose, Sonam La Sanje Bato, Dondo Jose, Dave Jose, and Dola.
Tukche tanda kalsa na tamazo. Ta lori ta dukhana ta kalsa re. Chidaya makuwa ta. Ani chik. Tanya makuwa yungare. Yanko chikpe to ta hamu hoche. Chik tinde yungare. Tinde yikin chen kapkola yang. Sen busu tokche. Di chabay na. Matik pare. Di yikin chen sen busu toko chabay na matik yare.
In the course of studying or learning about this topic, mind and awarenesses, there are times where we don't understand the terms, the terminology. At times we don't understand how it works, you know, and how you're supposed to approach the topic, how you're supposed to, you know, look at it, yeah. But if your mind gets tight, you know, if you get very uptight because of not understanding either the terminology or the meaning, then I would say that it is incorrect, yeah. Basically, it's not right, yeah, basically.
So
at such a time when you get uptight, you know, in the course of your study, when you get uptight, then at that time you must know how to let go. You know, make the mind a little bit more open, more expansive, more relaxed. You know.
Oh,
well, it seems that there are people, you know, who in the course of studying this topic, you know, it seems that there are some people who get stressed and upset.
Uh, 딘데 균전신이 아직 노리 따라 아직 간대이나 산에 도바 남도 요 미세바 말해로.
So you know when you study such a topic and then in the process you get very uptight and then you get stressed and unhappy, upset, you know. Then it is possible that then you will start to entertain thoughts, entertain doubts, you ask yourself, what on earth am I doing this for? No? Why am I doing this for? No? Why should I be doing this? Actually, whatever we learn in life, in the process of learning, when you see that you're getting a bit too uptight, you must let go, a little bit loosen up a bit. But if you find that you are if you're not uptight, but on the other hand, if you are a bit too relaxed, then you need to kind of tighten things up a bit. Yeah. So it's not just just studying Lori. Yeah. It's basically whatever we study in life, isn't it? That's how you should approach it, isn't it? So anyway, the whole point of what I'm trying to say here is, by studying Lori, you will not ki siao. So if through studying this subject, if you think that you'll definitely become crazy, yeah, then I'll be the first one to become crazy.
So my point is, no need to worry, yeah? Put an effort to study, yeah? What did I? What I'm talking now? So I mean, they always give very good example all the time. Whatever you do, like when you play the guitar, yeah, you know this famous example. When you play the guitar, if your string is too tight, even there's no good sound. But another danger is it may break down the string. You didn't. There's no good sound. So if the string is too loose, the sound doesn't come nice, nothing please. Yeah, so exactly the same when you study this topic also like that. If you are too loose, same. Yeah, you're too tight, same. So you think you're too tight, then loose. You think you're too relaxed, tight a little bit, okay? So remember the example. I mean this for whatever you do business, or whatever it is. I mean, example is same, So you shouldn't be too tight yourself. When they're tight, you must lose, yeah. Okay, so.
Remember right at the beginning when we looked at established based. It is mutually inclusive with existence, isn't it? And what is an existent? That which is observed, by a valid cognizer or established place, that which is established, verified, certified by a valid cognizer, isn't it? So, you know, right at the beginning, you know, we looked at this, isn't it? Yeah. What an existing or established base is, right? You know, I mean, you know, you put the words up there in the notes. That which is observed by a valid cognizer, or that which is established or verified by a valid cognizer. So that was what we looked at the beginning, yeah. But now, how many weeks has passed? A couple of weeks has passed, right? When you hear this again, is there a difference in your understanding of the same word? Definitely there's something new, right? You know, at least you have some idea, you know. There's some meaning generality appearing in your mind, yeah? Some, you know? Oh, yeah. Something like that, you know, kind of feel, you know. This is a sign of having learned something.
That's so, realization. No other realization. That is the realization.
So, you know the definition of an existent, that which is observed by a valid cognizer. Yeah? Essentially, what it is saying, you think about it. What is the line that distinguishes between an existent and a non-existent? At the end of the day, what is it that determines whether it is an existent or not? U or bo? If that object, that particular phenomenon, is observed or comprehended by a valid cognizer, a valid mind, then it is said to exist. Otherwise, bo, there's no such thing otherwise, right? So, you know, the definition of an existent, that which is observed by a valid cognizer. In here, observed here means realized. That which is realized, verified, certified by a valid cognizer, right? Isn't it? So you see, it has to be realized by a valid cognizer in order for it to exist, for it to be an existent. It does not say as long as it appears to it appears to a consciousness, isn't it? It doesn't say appearing to a valid cognizer, isn't it? It doesn't mean that, you know, you can definitely say that something exists just because it appears to a valid cognizer or just because it doesn't appear, basically to a mind, yeah. You can't say that. So, you know, I mentioned before, right? It doesn't mean that anything that appears to your mind means that then that thing exists, yeah?
Because we can have all sorts of appearances.
Correct, you know, valid appearances, but there are also many invalid appearances, basically, you know, rubbish, yeah. And all sorts of things, you know, can appear, right? Right? So,
yeah.
So therefore, right from the beginning, you know, the criteria for something existing is whether the criteria of something existing is there being a valid mind, a valid cognizer realizing it. If there is a valid cognizer realizing that phenomenon is said to exist, is an existent. Otherwise, no. Right from the beginning, that is established
here. Yeah. Okay?
So right from the beginning, you know, it is, you know, the stand is very clear. If it is realized by a valid cognizer, if it's comprehended by a valid cognizer, it exists. That thing exists, right? The phenomenon. So logically, the next question would be, I mean, from this you can, you know, from this, you know, right from the beginning, from this you can see that definitely valid cognizers exist, yeah. A valid cognizer has to exist. If a valid cognizer, because in order for a phenomenon to be an existent, it has to be verified, certified, posited, realized by a valid cognizer, isn't it? So therefore, right from the beginning, valid cognizers exist, yeah. So the next logical question is, what is a valid cognizer? What defines a valid cognizer? What it is, Teobo? How do we know whether a valid cognizer exists? How do we know whether valid cognizers exist? How do we know whether valid cognizers exist? Just as an existence is verified by a valid cognizer, so what verifies the existence of valid cognizer? Self-knower. Hello? Self-knower, you know, familiar? So, the thing that verifies an existence is a valid cognizer. So valid cognizers have to exist, yeah. But what is it, according to here, this the system, what is it that verifies the existence of valid cognizers? How do we know valid cognizers exist? It is posited, verified by self-knower. So, the self-knower is posited to be the verifier of a valid cognizer, the existence of a valid cognizer. You understand? What is it? How do we know at the end of the day whether a valid cognizer exists or not? It is said to be as the self-knower. It has to be a self-knower, which is the mind existing in one collection together with the valid cognizer it is experiencing. The verifier of a valid cognizer cannot be something that is of a different collection from the valid cognizer that it is supposed to verify. Hello?
Hello, hello. Huh? Are you there? Hello, hello. Huh? Hello. Samak this one, that way. Because you did geometrically, Joseph did semi-judge. That Samakoran, Jobber Singh, the Sama Shinji Shapa in a degree, is not that could.
What is it that certifies or verifies the an existent?
Valid cognizer, right? Okay. So valid cognizers have to exist, yeah? But how do we know valid cognizers exist? What is it that verifies the existence of a valid cognizer? A self-knower. Because it cannot be another valid cognizer that is of a different collection from it. It cannot be. Because Tai Chi, you say that. Okay, so just as a valid cognizer verifies an existent or something said to be existent is due to a valid cognizer. So what is it that verifies a valid cognizer to exist? Self-knower, which is the self-knower is the mind which experiences this valid cognizer and it is in one collection, yeah, one entity, right? So this is the mind that verifies the existence of a valid cognizer. It cannot be another valid cognizer. It cannot be another valid cognizer, something that is separate of a different collection. Why? Because if you say that it is a separate valid cognizer that verifies the existence of another valid cognizer, then you will have the problem of then you need another mind that verifies this valid cognizer. And then what about then, you know, basically there is a there's no end, basically. I don't know how to say it technically. Infinite. It's not regression. Yeah, okay, regression. Yeah, okay, you can say. You incur the fallacy of infinite regression, yeah. Endless, basically.
Not regret, yeah. Okay? So, Ditone, Tako, Rangli Shakwet, Rangli Doban, Rangli Shakwet, some logic, Tandanji, and Tinday Tones, and Ango. Rawa.
So this is one of the reasons why those who assert self-knowers, yeah. This is the reason why they come to the conclusion that self-knowers have to exist, yeah. They think about stuff, right? Although, I mean, the assertions of a self-knower is not the ultimate tenet, the final view, or it's not basically not reality. Yeah? But nevertheless, those who assert self-knowers do so because of such a reason.
So, putting aside the definition of the valid cognizer, having to establish its object, for this system, it asserts that external phenomena exists from its own side, already existing there. So would that entail that you do not really need a valid cognizer to establish its validity because it is already inherently existing from its own side?
If something exists from its own side, you don't need any mind or very cognizant positing it, right? Basically, that's the qualm. Okay, well. This school asserts external objects, yes. But whether it is an external object or not is ultimately dependent on a valid cognizer that posits external objects, right?
So say if there are no valid cognizers, they are still existent.
No.
Those objects existing from their own side will not be in existence without the valid cognizer established. Yeah. I mean, setting aside the definition because of the definition, but how does one understand that it is already established by itself? It is self-established.
It is established because it is realized by a valid cognizer. It is established as that.
To be self-established.
Established to be existing by way of its own character.
It is established to be self-established. You can say that, yeah?
Established as...
To be self-established.
The phenomenon.
Yeah, the external phenomenon. The external phenomenon is self-established, right? It's established by itself already, yeah?
If you think about the definition of... basically the definition of, let's say, if you think along the lines of the definition, yeah. It is existing by way of its own character, yeah, in this system, every phenomenon, yeah, existing by way of its own character. Yeah. So if you think along the definition, then yes, that's what it means. Yeah. But its existence has to be posited by a valid cognizer.
So second part is that just to want to verify once and for all that the relationship between apprehender, apprehended, aspect of apprehender and aspect of apprehended. So for the self-knower experiencing the I consciousness apprehending blue, the self-knower experiencing the I consciousness apprehending blue, blue is the apprehended. Blue is the apprehended. Then both the self-knower and the I-consciousness apprehending blue, these two are apprehenders since they're apprehending something. So can I say that the self-knower experiencing this I-consciousness is the apprehender having the aspect of the apprehender, and the I-consciousness apprehending blue is the apprehender having the aspect of the apprehended? Can I want to repeat it one more time? So I'm trying to...
So the self-knower experiencing an I consciousness apprehending blue. See, So in the case of a self-knower experiencing an eye consciousness apprehending blue, the apprehended object is blue. So for self-knower experiencing an eye consciousness apprehending blue, so first you're asking about the apprehended, yeah.
Apprehended will be the object.
Apprehended of which consciousness?
Apprehended of eye consciousness apprehending blue, that would be the blue. Yeah. Eye consciousness apprehending blue, the apprehended will be blue.
Sungwa. If it is, yeah, if you're referring to the apprehended object, yes, it is blue, yeah.
Okay. Then the self-knower experiencing the eye consciousness, these two parts, yeah, of one collection. So within these two parts, there are two apprehenders. The self-knower as well as the eye consciousness apprehending blue. So the the eye consciousness apprehending blue itself is an apprehender having the aspect of blue. Therefore, it is an apprehender having the aspect of generated into the aspect of the apprehended, which is blue. So can I say it is apprehender having the aspect of the apprehended? Because apprehended refers to blue. Aspect of the apprehended means refers to this eye consciousness.
If you are just talking about the eye consciousness apprehending blue, the eye consciousness is an apprehender, yes. And this eye consciousness is generated in the aspect of blue, so it has an aspect of the apprehended.
Yes.
Blue is the apprehended, yes.
So can I just summarize in one sentence? It is an apprehender having the aspect of the...
I'm not sure whether we say in Tibetan like this. Apprehender having aspect of apprehended.
Generated into the aspect of the apprehended. It is an apprehender generated into the aspect of the apprehended.
So if we, of course, the eye consciousness apprehending blue is the apprehender, and if we, in this context, if we take the apprehended to mean the apprehended object blue, then you can say that it is generated in the aspect of the apprehended. Yeah. You say like that, it's fine. But
so it's okay to say it is an apprehender? No. Generated into the aspect of the apprehended.
I'm not sure whether we say like that in the text. I mean, the meaning is fine, but whether we say it like that, that's another question, because yeah, somehow I don't think it is taught out in such a way.
Okay, then if that's the case, then no need to talk about the self-knower already. No need to say that it is apprehender of the apprehended, apprehender of the generated into the aspect of apprehender also. No need to say like that.
Is there a need? Because the self-knower is an aspect of the apprehender. No need.
But it itself is also an apprehender, right?
In general, when we talk about apprehender and apprehended, when we talk about apprehended and apprehender in general, apprehended refers to the object and apprehender refers to the subject. In general, yeah. So if it is an established base, it is necessary an object. So when we say apprehended, it is object, yeah. It refers to object, yeah. Means object, yeah. And then the apprehender is also apprehender, yeah. The apprehender is also the apprehended.
The apprehender is also the apprehended.
Because the apprehender is the object, yeah.
By the apprehended by the self-knower.
If it is an established base, it is necessarily an object.
Okay.
Correct.
Right.
So then, if you accept, then an apprehender, the subject apprehender, is an apprehended.
Right. Consciousness is apprehended.
Except.
Yeah, okay.
So,
yeah.
So when we talk about apprehender and apprehended in general, basically we are talking about the twofold division of object and object possessor, yeah. Same, yeah. Which means in this case an apprehender would mean consciousness. But when consciousness is divided into a self-knower and other knower, this is a division of consciousness, yeah, not objects, yeah. So the subject itself is divided into two, or subject or consciousness is divided into two, self knower, other knower. So it's a division of the consciousness,
yeah.
So you know, consciousness when divided, you have other knower and self knower, right? So an I consciousness apprehending blue would be an aspect of the apprehended. The self knower experiencing an I consciousness apprehending blue will be an aspect of the apprehender.
Yeah, correct. Okay, back to valid cognizer and self knowers.
Recognizer. First moment.
Okay, Ken Vijay, I want to ask questions. So I think this question was before in last Lorik class we mentioned this question. If there is a trolling trees in the forest and fall and a sound bomb, but there is no valid cognizer, nobody hear the sound, does the sound exist or not? Because I know that different schools have different assertion.
We didn't hear doesn't mean
nobody.
Here.
That's why I'm questioning whether there's nobody here, because we say that there's an external object must be realized by valid cognizer. So if there is no, there's a swirling tree, boom, and nobody hear it at all. Okay, is that sound exist or not?
So Buddha not a musician.
No lah, I'm just checking. Different school. I understand that different school have different assertion. With that, does that exist, external sound exist or not?
If there is no valid cognizer ascertaining that sound, then you have to say that sound doesn't exist, right? That sound doesn't exist, right? Have to say, yeah? Have to say, right? have to say, if there's no valid cognizer realizing that sound, the sound of the falling tree, then we have to say that although the tree fell and although there was a sound, there was no sound. No. In the first place, you have to accept not, or rather, I don't know whether you accept not, that if it is an existent, basically the line between an existent and non-existent is basically dependent.
Basically,
who decides whether something exists or not? And everybody is always asking that, right? How do we know something exists? So basically, do you accept or not? Whether something exists or not is dependent on whether there is a valid cognizer verifying that phenomenon. Accept or not? So do you accept this now? Do you accept this or do you not accept this? You sure you accept this?
Must either accept or either don't accept. No? If you don't accept, you have to give another reason. This one decide. Yeah? This you accept? First one? Huh? If you accept that, then Jeffrey, there's no question, yeah? The answer is already done. You don't accept, then okay. Na tire, tako, then khaso re, then a misswitching masala, tako, shingdong su sabai na, mi ki ma koi be jun, mi the mi me ba ta mi ma to be jun su ni jun ne, ta switching ma to ba lap to ma ra ba.
Just because a tree fell in an uninhabited area, uninhabited by human beings, yeah, does not necessarily mean that there wasn't any valid cognizer not realizing that sound,
yeah.
So there are ants there, worms there, spirits there, gods there, so nagas there. So, and some of them do get crushed by the tree, I guess.
Maybe some of them have valid cognizer hearing the sound. Tree will fall down, yeah. Doesn't have to be human being there. Yeah?
So valid cognizers are not necessarily only present in the continuum of human beings.
Jebo, yeah. Jebo. Bye bye.
However, Ken Rinpoche. Humans have very minimalistic perceptions. An example, we need radio to tune into frequencies we cannot perceive as humans, so we can hear a song. Correct? But the song was always there.
The sound, you mean?
The song. We put the radio on, then whatever channel, then we tune, then we can hear la. But the song or songs was always there. Uh-huh. It's just we needed a frequency to tune in, right?
Then?
So I was actually on his side. I mean, you know, if a tree falls, that doesn't mean it didn't make the sound. It was. It's just that we don't tune in. It's a little bit off the parallel, I know, but I just wanted to make that point out there. Ken Rinpoche didn't understand me. He's going to tell me to sit down in a minute. I'm going to sit down now.
We heard the sound. So, it was either a wrong consciousness or a AAA. Because I didn't realize the one.
My mind become AA. person. Yeah, you go on more. I didn't get it. Yeah, you tell on more. Now I concentrate. I bring my ballet cognizer back.
Because my brother asked, if a tree falls and there is no human around, there's no valid cognizer to cognize it, did it make a sound? So we have...
No, the sound was there.
Yeah, the sound was there because ancestors heard it, animals heard it just because there was no human, yeah. So I just wanted to bring a parallel into the fact that, I mean, you know, sound exists. Sound is form. We are vibrational, a lot of sound, actually. We are formed from sound. This is a bit yoga. Maybe gone off the track a bit. It was just to bring a parallel that just because we don't hear a sound, that doesn't mean sound is not out there. It's got nothing to do with a valid cognizer or anything like that, you know? Can Rinpoche look so serious now? I just only wanted to bring a very different...
Because you're saying what contradictory what I said.
What you say, I forgot.
So that's why. Yeah, I think we are like opposite, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh? No? Huh?
So basically she is saying, yeah, that because that the sound exists regardless of whether it's very cognizant or not. But I would disagree. You know. The fact that you can talk about frequency means that there's a mind, the scientists have found out there's a frequency, it's just that they didn't hear it. So it's established really. What? I mean, we're talking about science here, right? So you basically the first thing you have to get is whether an existent, the existence of an existent is completely dependent on a valid cognizer certifying or verifying it. So just because there's a thing there means that it can exist. How does it exist? How does it exist? If there's no one there to say they exist, how can it exist?
Okay. Yes. Whatever. Yeah. So there's different view. Yeah. She said not necessary to exist. Not necessarily that valid cognizer. She's saying that. I said must. Valid cognizer. So need to think. Yeah. Ani sama di mea bani tingwa la dati yuas in kanti shlap tu yor. Tingwa la dati sama di ma sama di kyun mea bani tingwa la dati yuas in kanti shlap tu yor.
If there is no valid cognizer, how in the first place can you say that there's sound or no sound? To say no, also you need a very cognizer. To say yes, also you need a very.
Think about. Okay. Yeah.
Ken, Puchi, my question is actually pertaining to. We talk about established base. Right now, actually, all the valid cognizer, we are not only just refining to human realms, right? It's actually for all valid cognizer in all the realms. So I'm actually trying to think from the perspective of, okay, a human being, eye consciousness, apprehending a glass of water as water, but the hell being will actually apprehend it like pus or blood. Then the god will actually apprehend it nectar. So in that case, whose view is the most correct one? Is it a case that all are mistaken? Because it's like, all are valid, but it actually appear differently. So are they all facsimile of direct perceiver in that sense? Because it's all seeing different things. So who is correct? they're all valid, I know, but I just couldn't actually reconcile on the fact that it's different. So who is correct?
We are correct.
So it's definitely water and not past and not...
We are correct, then from that I am correct.
Thank you. Today.
Basically, all three are very cognizers, we have to say. So, if we look at this issue about a human being seeing a glass of fluid as water, a God seeing a glass of fluid as nectar, and a hungry girl seeing a glass of fluid as pus, if you look from the perspective of the higher tenets, then it's easier to understand why, you know. And then from there, you can then come to some, some agreement, you accept that all three are valid, in their own ways, When you talk about from the perspective of the mind-only school, their assertion is everything is nature, everything is nature of mind, isn't it? And then you think about that, then I think there's something to say about these three being valid, If it's established from their own mind, it's in nature of the mind. But if you go to the higher school, the consequence middle way school, everything is merely imputed by mind, then of course, then quite clear, But of course, if you talk about the lower tenets, then maybe a bit, whether they assert all three are valid or not, then something needs to be analyzed, Whether from the lower school. So the three different appearances are not said to exist just because there is such an appearance. Just because something appears as past doesn't necessarily mean that it is past. So the reason why these three different realms, the beings of these different realms, have three different experiences is because of the karma that accumulated. Because of their respective karma that accumulated causes them to have this particular appearance, Let's say for human being, water, And just as it appears as water, you have to say there is water there, because it's established by the karma, isn't it? The result, the coming appearance, It's a result, So we have to say, so therefore it's valid, That experience of water for human beings is valid,
If you say it is not valid, then the whole presentation of cause and effect falls apart,
yeah? Mm.
So it's the same like, you know, thinking about the sufferings, you know, of the hungry ghosts and the hell realms, so whether they exist or not. You know, it is established, you know, for these sufferings are said to exist because there's the karma for such sufferings. Karma has been accumulated for such sufferings. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, if you don't talk about the cause, the karma, then how are you going to posit the existence of such sufferings? So anyway, it is a complicated issue if we have to think about it. So if we think about it from, you know, according to the mind only school view, everything is an entity of mind. Everything is nature of mind, basically. Yeah. Not everything is the nature of mind. Yeah. Then it's something to think about. Yeah. How, you know, due to the specific individual's mind, then, you know, there's a particular appearance. Yeah. But if we think about, we relate this to the assertion of there being a real external object, not just an external object existing from his own side, you know. Right. Then it's a bit difficult, right?
Gao liao. Okay. Huh? What? And then, Otoche, Takazanzo, and then Mosum Tanang, Shebe Kabla, Tata, Tat, Kasa Mosum Tanang, Set, Tata, Kazan, Kazan, Tat, Lotua Jedi, Tachi, Nangi Jin, Tat Lotua Jesh, Tati, Kazan Shusavale.
So, in the last lesson, we looked at the facsimile of a direct perceiver, isn't it? Counterfeit direct perceiver, basically. And for those facsimile of direct perceivers which are non-conceptual, then errors can arise. Yeah. Errors, basically, mistakes happen due to errors. You know, basically, are internal errors or external errors? Basically, yeah. So the cause of error, exists either internally or externally. So the four causes of error is basically explaining how non-conceptual facsimile of direct perceivers, which are sense consciousnesses. The four causes of error are used to explain how non-conceptual facsimile of a direct perceivers, which are sense consciousnesses, how they are produced. Then there are non-conceptual facsimile of a direct perceiver, which are mental consciousness. Yeah. And in illustration is the mental consciousness to which a dream elephant appears as an elephant. Our appropriated contaminated physical and mental aggregates, yeah, especially in particular the physical body, right? In particular this contaminated physical body is by nature dirty, right? It's by nature dirty, right? It's filthy by nature. But we apprehend it instinctively to be clean, very nice. This kind of mind is a mistaken mind. It's a mistake, yeah? You have to see, right? So it's such a mind that apprehends this contaminated physical body as clean. Is it, so this mind, is it a valid cognizer or wrong consciousness? What do you think? Huh? In this world, it's conventionally accepted. In fact, we say that the body is clean once you have washed it. Yeah. If you have washed it, you have given it, pong-pong. then the body is clean, right? Becomes clean, right? And due to that, you know, we then apprehend the body. We think, oh yeah, the body is clean. Because of such conventional vaccinations, no? Oh, my body is clean after I've taken a bath. And this is a condition that we instinctively and we really believe, right? 100% the body is clean, right? It's clean, right? Body is clean, right? Can't be anything else other than clean, right? It's a very strong belief. Yeah. You know? So this mind, you analyze, this mind is a valid mind or not, or a mistaken mind? If you say that this is a perverse mind, a wrong consciousness, then, how did it come about? What is its cause? Why? What's the cause? Similarly, in this world of ours, it's conventionally accepted that everybody thinks that if you are able to get your hands on a pleasant object, you will be blissed out. You'll be happy, right? So let's say, then based on this, then you know, you get our hands on this and that, and desirable objects, no? Then you get blissed out, yeah? Or you think that that's shiok, right? So this mind thinking shiok, yeah? Please. Is it a valid consciousness or mistaken consciousness? Is it wrong, basically? Is it right or wrong?
right or wrong? By getting our hands on various kinds of desirable objects, I mean, conventionally it's accepted that you have this, yeah. That is what we call perfect happiness, real happiness, right? Conventionally, everybody accepts it, right? So, you know, you see, if you get your hands on such stuff, you know, then, you know, you get happy. You think that it's, you get happy. And then if you think of this happiness, if you regard this kind of happiness as the ideal, perfect, real happiness, such a mind is a valid mind or wrong consciousness? Realized. She realized something. I don't dare to see myself. We see someone, we saw someone yesterday, and then we see the person again today. What we see is the same color, same shape. Hopefully, yeah. Whether got makeup or not, but anyway, we see the same person. We saw a person yesterday, and we see the same person again today. What we feel is the same person. Yeah, we see the same person. Yeah, based on what appears to us, the shape hasn't changed, color hasn't changed. Then we think, oh, this is the same person. Yeah, the person of yesterday and today is the same. When we believe, yeah, same. It's just one person, same person, not just same, no, exactly. Such a mind is a valid mind or wrong consciousness? There's another thing to analyze. How do you feel when you see the same person, on two different days, two consecutive days? What do you feel? Do you feel that it's two different person? Do you feel? No, right? You never ever think it's two different person, right? You never ever think it is not the same person. Never, yeah? Do you? So it's the same person, right? Yeah. So we analyze. Is the person of yesterday, the person that you saw yesterday, and the same person that you saw today, no, conventionally same with the same person, are they the same or not? Huh? You go outside, then people say, siao, you say no. We will be admitted into IMH. Like the lawyer called Ravi, right? This is a famous lawyer now, right? Actually, they are the siao ones. When we accept reincarnation, yeah. So we accept a person moving from life to life, right?
you have to posit there is a person that came from a previous life into this life, and this person is going on to the next life. Definitely, there's something that's going on from one to another, right? Something that person, right? For us, so we have to then note, we have to posit, and definitely there's somebody. Wulang, there's a person, right? It's a real person, right? Coming from before, coming now, and going on. It's a real one, same, yeah? Yeah, basically there's just one, yeah? It doesn't matter you came from previous house, you're going out somewhere, but whoever it is just the one, the same guy. We think like this, yeah? So it can't be a different person, it has to be the same one person, right? The same one person going from here, coming from somewhere else into this life, going in on to the next life. It's the same person, the one person. And it's possible to conceive and to believe that this person is permanent, yeah. It's the same person, the unchanging one. It cannot be two different persons, yeah. It cannot be that if you say that it's two different persons, then the person who created the cause and the person who's experiencing the result of that cause is different, yeah. If you say it's different, right? So for us, definitely same. The same, unchanging one, the guy, the same one, the one, Paisie, from one life to another, you know, the same, you know, real one. We have this concept, right? So we have to analyze whether such a conception is correct or not. Just as for the non-conceptual facsimiles of a direct perceiver, which are sense consciousnessesthat are produced in dependence on the four causes of error, right? So here, in the same way, you know, the four examples which I brought up, right? We have to relate this to the four attributes of the first noble truth, true suffering. The four attributes of true suffering are, impermanent, suffering or misery, empty and selfless. Yeah. So these four attributes of true suffering definitely exist. Yeah. So, what are their opposites? So there are conceptions of holding on to the opposites of these four. So we have to, so there are the four attributes of the first of true suffering, right? So what is it? Impermanent misery, suffering. Then you have empty selfless. Yeah. So
the opposite, there are conceptions holding on to the opposite of these four. Yeah. So we need to understand how on one hand there are mistaken conceptions, and how on the other there are conceptions realizing reality as it is. Yeah. So you can see that from this, it all has to do with practice. It all has to do with our own practice. Therefore, it's very important to understand the difference between a valid mind and a mistaken mind, a valid cognizer and a wrong consciousness. Because it is through giving in to wrong consciousnesses, believing in them, that we are led into problems and suffering, all the things that we don't want. And it is by following after valid minds, following after them, then, that we get the result of what we the result of happiness. So this is extremely important to distinguish between a valid mind and a wrong consciousness.
Yeah.
So you got it? Got it? Then when we talk about subsequent cognizer, in the definition, a knower which realizes that it has been realized, yeah. Isn't it? So it is not as simple as saying, for example, it's the second moment of eye consciousness that branding vast. Or it is that, the first moment is valid cognizant, and therefore the subsequent moments are subsequent cognizers. That's not the point. That's not the main point. Yeah. The main point here is that we have to familiarize ourselves over and over again with what we have already understood and realized. It's about familiarizing the mind with the realization over and over again. No? So basically, that process of familiarization has to continue until the mind is transformed into, a mind having a very clear appearance of the object that's realized. Or, in some cases, transforming that mind into the entity of a direct perception. So this is what we have to understand from the definition of a subsequent cognizer, a knower that realizes what has already been realized. The point is not just about knowing something already. The point is about you applying to the path is continued familiarization with the object that has been realized until you get a very clear appearance of the object, or in some cases, until the mind transforms into the entity of direct perception. That is the meaning, that is the what you have to get from the definition of subsequent cognizer.
Yeah. Rahin
Okay, you got the point about subsequent cognizance, the thing to, you know, how do you apply, and what basically what it really means. Yeah. Then you have correctly assuming consciousness. What is that? Correctly assuming consciousness is a factually concordant determinative knower that is controvertible with regard to determining its object, isn't it? Yeah. But is it sufficient just to have a correct belief, a correct assumption? No. Because whatever imprint that is planted in the mind just form a correct belief. You just think that it is so, and you really believe in it, although it may be true. But until you have removed all superimpositions, you know, all kinds of fantasies or misconceptions or superimpositions, we say, you know, technically, superimpositions with regards to the objects, until you have removed all doubts with regards to that object, until you have ascertained the object completely by having removed all doubts and superimpositions, until then, whatever imprint is very, is not stable at all. It's not a realization. So therefore, just having correct assumption alone is not enough. We cannot be satisfied with that. You have to work towards a valid cognition, a valid cognition of the object in question.
Yeah.
It's related to practice, isn't it? Whatever practice you are doing, you know, the point here is in order to be able to place very strong, stable imprints, you know, from the practice, you know, in your mind, you must have eliminated any kind of superimpositions or doubts pertaining to the object. If you are able to do so, then the imprint is very stable in the mind. Yeah. We are very sure. Whatever practice of however you're trying to train yourself, you know, whatever practice, you know, but with regards to that method or that practice, if you have gained full certainty, ascertainment, you have removed all doubts about it, you remove all superimpositions, you know, you're so definite about the practice, it makes a huge difference, right? When you're doing that practice, you know, nobody has to push you. You just come from your own side. Naturally, you want to do it because you have gained that conviction, you see, that certainty.
What in the Asia, a Tana Shire, Takas or Kota, the Yamna Chibakalaya, that Tesum Sinla, the Raila Tanya's top, Simjum, Tesum Sunguyore, Tesum, not so Yunguyore, Zozo, that Tesum Karasina, Yamna Chia, Pache, Tesum Tatota, the Rangi Yamna Kancha by Nata, Tesum the Jet Devagina, Tako, Peter Pushimahimashi, the Long Toman Lama Juvela, Pache Chibuchabure.
Then you have doubt, doubting consciousness, a knower which has qualms too pointedly by its own power. Definition of qualm, right? Can you imagine you're trying to do a practice with doubt? Nothing works, right? Neither here nor there, right? In the first place, no, just it is doubt. Yeah, tunbo, you know, that kind of thing, you know. It's an obstacle already, yeah. You don't even get started when you have doubt, you know. It's a huge obstacle to entering the path. Isn't it?
Oh, Tuxin, that Zozo, that Tizan Tesum, Mambu, Yungo, Nansay, Mambu, Yungo, Pantok, Tesum, Yungo, Pamada, Tesum, Yungo, 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 Yungo,
Doubting consciousness has its own division. Yeah, basically there are doubts that are you could say are beneficial, when there are doubts that are not beneficial. The doubting consciousness that we are talking about here is basically the doubt which is an obstacle to generating the path, an obstacle to our practice. That is doubt that we are talking about here. So right from the beginning, we have, you know, all these doubts, it's an obstacle. It prevents us from engaging in, you know, that practice or entering the path, right? And even, you know, if you have something better than that, which is just a correct belief, you believe, but, you know, not sure. I mean, you believe, but I don't know why, you know, that kind of thing. So in the vast majority of people are basically practicing at this level, just mere belief, right? That's why the practice doesn't go anywhere. It's not good quality, and it doesn't increase, doesn't lead to any, like, you know, fantastic, you know, experiences or realizations. So basically, that's where everybody is stuck, just having the mere belief, because one has not no ascertainment yet. You're not sure yet. You have not eliminated all doubts. You have not eliminated all superimpositions. So having correct assumption alone is also not enough. It's better than doubt, but it's so you have to transform the mind into the valid cognizer. And just, you know, transforming your mind into a valid cognizer is not enough. You have to transform it into a direct valid cognizer. You need to directly perceive whatever object in question. So which means you're 100%, you've realized it. With that kind of valid cognition, then whatever practice in question, becomes easy. Yeah. It becomes good, and the quality becomes very good, The handout dated 24th July, it's about the valid inferential valid, mainly about inferential valid cognizer. Yeah. So there's nothing much about the direct valid cognizer. Yeah. There's just some slight additions to the definitions. But you should read up on the inferential cognizer, and especially the presentation of correct reason. What constitutes a correct sign? Okay. So it's all there in the notes, okay? You should read and prepare.
Hello.
Hello.
I have one question here. So, it's regarding the appearing object of direct perceiver. So, eye consciousness can only apprehend form, right?
Huh?
Eye consciousness can only apprehend form.
Visible form. Yeah.
Yeah, visible form. So can we say that means form is the apprehended object of an eye consciousness? And then, if so, does that mean that only form can be the appearing object of an eye consciousness, because apprehended object and appearing object are synonymous? Because eye consciousness can only apprehend form, right?
I think
So with eye consciousness can only appear form. That means form is the apprehended object of an eye consciousness. Then does that mean that only form can be appearing object of an eye consciousness because apprehended object and appearing object are synonymous?
Then?
Yeah, that's the question.
What? That is question.
Yeah, that means only form can, if what I just said is correct, right? That means only form can be appearing object of an eye consciousness because apprehended object and appearing object are synonymous. Apprehended object and appearing object are synonymous. Same thing, right? I'm referring to a hand out.
So basically what's the problem? So that's both same then?
That means whatever to appears to an eye consciousness, right? Cannot be appearing object.
Why?
Because only form, if form is an apprehended object of eye consciousness, right? Then that means only form can be the appearing object of eye consciousness.
So?
So that means whatever that appears to a direct perceiver is not necessary, is appearing object.
No pervasion.
No pervasion.
I don't know what you're asking.
Yeah. Basically, as long as you can give something that is not form, you have won already.
Huh?
Second. I mean, that basically you're trying to do that. If you can give an example that is not form, then...
Not form, huh? Yeah, the impermanence of a vase, right?
So?
That appear to an eye consciousness, appearing vase. Uh-huh. It's not its appearing object, because it's not form. Is it right to say that?
If it appears to a direct perceiver, it's necessarily its appearing object, yeah?
Oh, necessary, yeah. But form is
It's in the discussion question, isn't it, for Sunday?
Yes.
I don't know what's the answer there, I don't know, but the question is in Sunday there,
Yeah.
So basically you're saying blue's impermanence is not form. So therefore it cannot be the appearing object of eye consciousness appearing new form, right?
Yes. That's what I'm asking.
Nobody ever say that if it appears to a sense direct perceiver, it necessarily has to be visible form.
The question is eye consciousness.
If it appears, basically that which appears to an eye consciousness is not necessarily visible, it's not necessarily visible form, right? All the qualities that are in one collection with the object, right?
Appear together to the eye consciousness. So,
so think about this. If it appears to an eye consciousness, it's not necessarily form. Here, form is visible form.
You think about
that? Okay.
Can you also mean form? Yeah.
I'm not asking question. Today, 50 years ago, Ken Rinpoche was born. So, we'll sing a song. So, and he will offer chocolate. Really good, nice. So, Ken Rinpoche will bless the chocolate by eating the chocolate he blessed, you're understanding directly. So may we all have valid cognition of the thing. Chocolate is good for the brain. Actually, you choose chocolate, very good chocolate today. I think all of us sitting here got different experience, different level of mind going through, you know. Some got the awareness, they appear but not ascertain. some hear the thing, you hear the sound, but your mind are distracted by form. So you hear, but you don't ascertain what it's saying. But I think that Rinpoche, I try really hard, you know. I'm hearing this for the second time since 2004. I get more familiar with whatever the thing they're talking about. So I'm quite sure there's something called imprint. No doubt I might not be fully aware of the thing, but I felt that everybody is trying really very hard here. So Ken Rinpoche, today, I felt that it's very special. And on birthday, I don't think so on planet Earth, anybody on birthday spend class with people studying Lorik. I think we are the only party of people. So on the behalf of all this class here today, right, we'd like to wish Ken Rinpoche many happy returns. May we always continue to receive guidance from you and hear this incredible teaching every year after year, year after year, you know. Then I think this is one of our wishes. So may we just say one, two, count of three, right? We recite the happy birthdays. No, not recite. Sing.
Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Ken Rinpoche. Happy birthday to you.
Okay. So, I thought sometimes when you buy the cake, you know, you need to cut. Then after not only cutting, but after cut, you need to distribute. You know, it's very difficult. You know, how to cut. You know, very complicated. So, I thought it's best. You know. Buy the chocolate. So it's quite easy. So just try one each. Okay? So hope they have enough for everyone. So I think it's easy to distribute. So like that. So maybe some of people, this chocolate becomes subsequent cognizer. Some people may be valid. Some people have maybe wrong consciousness. I don't know. Maybe some upstairs. Here also. Wait, quick, too quick. Quick.
this different translation.
So on Sunday we are doing the Hayagriva Puja, yeah. So in the basic, in the last basic program we used to outsource. We used to outsource the puja. So now we are doing in-house, yeah.
Oh.
Huh? So if you want popi popi, yeah, for your studies, then bye bye, yeah. Okay, we finish with the usual prayers, yeah.